Can you switch me over, Andrew? Let us pray. Gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak and the thoughts, feelings, and responses of all those who hear, that this might be a time when we are fed by your living word. In Jesus' name, amen. It is one of the enduring stories of the gospel, the feeding of the multitude, the feeding usually of the 5,000, and that story is in all four Gospels. It's one of those rare stories that finds a place in all four Gospels. But today I read from one that isn't in most lectionaries, and it is only in the Gospel of Mark and Matthew, and that is the second feeding of the multitude, the feeding of the 4,000. It bears many similarities with the first feeding of the 5,000, but it has a very significant difference. How are you satisfied? What satisfies you? I had the great privilege a few weeks ago of officiating at a wedding in Lindsay, or actually it was on a farm near Lindsay, Ontario. The bride was a member of my congregation in Hamilton, and I'd known her since she was about 6 years old. It's hard to believe I'm marrying people like that now, but and it was a beautiful ceremony, but we needed to stay in Peterborough in order to get there on time, so we were in a day's inn. And the beautiful thing about this hotel is that it had a free breakfast. Well, the morning came, and Esther and I were out our hotel room door at 7:30 to get down for breakfast. But the other thing about this hotel is it just so happened to be the location of the Queen's women's rugby team. And they were there for a tournament. Who knew that Queen's had so many women rugby players? And they love breakfast. And we got down there and with them, and it seemed like this hotel was packed. There was some other wedding going on. The lineup was out the door for the free breakfast, and I didn't know how much was going to be left. So I said to Esther, let's go down the street. There's a McDonald's about half a block away. And so we went. Now, the beauty of that is, of course, that at McDonald's, I could have pancakes. It's rare the free hotel breakfast has pancakes. McDonald's, I knew I was going to get pancakes. McDonald's pancakes, I know, but pancakes nevertheless. So I went in and made my order, and I was just taking it away, actually I suppose paying, when the person said, "And would you like cookies with that?" And my stomach just turned. It isn't the kind of thing you have with pancakes. Now, I know you order anything else in McDonald's at any other time of day, and it's, would you like fries with that? Or if you get fries, would you like that upsized? And I know that's what they have to do. It's upselling. And I know it's what we're trained to do, right? It's never enough. If what we ordered was sufficient, well, there's always something more we need, right? I just couldn't get my head around cookies with pancakes. But it made me think, how many other things do we have that we do not need? Things that really we would be well enough to stop and be satisfied beyond our wildest dreams, and yet somehow we have to go that one more and make ourselves sick or overweight or uncomfortable. That applies not only to food, but to many other things. But when it comes to food, we'll see if this works. Okay, I'm going to do this by hand. You gotta love it. Okay, well, the picture changed. Yeah, if you would do that, we'll see if it changes up on the screen. All right, here we go again. What I have is a picture of a family, in this case, a German family, and in front of them is what that normal German family would eat in a week. And you'll see a lot of sausage there, and bread, and wonderful things, totaling about $326. And then the next slide is of an American family, and what they would eat in a week. And there, prominent in the front, are two large pizzas, basically kind of a Canadian diet as well. And we have a total of about $346 for the American family. And then a third slide of a family in Chad. And there before them is a feast for a Chadian family, looking very meager next to the food that was, here we go, there are Germans, there's our Americans. $342, I gave $4 too much. And there's the family from Chad. And their total is, and if you hit that again, Giovanni, $1.23. And they are satisfied. Probably have less heart disease. And you're going to stay there? Thank you. And thank you, Giovanni. All right, it's amazing, you know, the same kind of miracle of loaves and fishes happens every Wednesday here when Esther and her kitchen team get together for the Alpha program. And they feed 60 people on very little money and in very little time. And we are all satisfied, aren't we? Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful meal. But sometimes, and if we can, sometimes we miss the point of this nourishment. The thing about this story, the feeding of the 4,000, is it happened in Gentile territory. And there you see, I have a kind of dotted circle around the area called the Decapolis. It's the area to the east of the Sea of Galilee, and it is a pagan area. And that is where Jesus was when he assembled the 4,000. The 5,000, well, there's a lot of Jewish imagery which goes with that story of feeding. You have the number 5 repeated, 5 loaves. Well, there are 5 books of Moses. And at the end of the meal, there are 12 baskets full of food left over. And you have 12 tribes of Israel. The number 4,000, people have a field day guessing what numerology is working here. But 4 stands for the 4 corners of the world, the place where all people are. So you include Gentiles in that group. And they had 7 loaves. And the 7 loaves, well, they could be the 7 laws that applied to Gentile sojourners in Jerusalem. You have 7 deacons that were Gentiles serving the early church. 7 was a universal number which represented holiness. But you have the same disciples making the same mistake that, Lord, we can't feed these people. How can we do this? There are not enough resources. And Jesus says, don't you understand who I am and why I have come? So that all the world might know, Gentile and Jew, that we are together and we have resources enough to share in the love which is the truth of our lives. And sure enough, at the end of the meal, 7 baskets full. And they were satisfied. We're trained in this Western culture not to be satisfied. Our economy, to some extent, depends upon it. And we are brought up with the sense of, I have to do better because everyone else is doing better than me. And unless I somehow am doing something spectacular or am gifted in a wonderful way, I am not worthy. I knew one beautiful young woman. She was in her early 40s. And I will call her young, but she had never been married. And she came to my office, and that was the one burden that she had in her life. And I said, well, it would be a beautiful thing if you found someone with whom to share your life. But before you do that, you have to understand you are complete and whole in yourself. If you go out thinking that by getting someone else in your life, you will finally be complete, well, I'll tell you, there are a lot of marriages out there where that doesn't work. You are a beloved child of God. Receive that identity. Receive the wholeness you have in the commitment that the living God has made to you, for you are not alone. And you have a family around this world and forever. Which makes me think of a person named like Albert Lexi. I don't know if you've heard of Albert. He was celebrated a few years ago at an All-Star game, and we're all thinking of baseball these days. He was named as one of the All-Stars of America. But Albert, since then, has continued to work quietly away, almost in anonymity. He is from a little town near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And in the 8th grade, Albert made a shoeshine box. And that shoeshine box became his career. It was a good thing because Albert never went beyond 8th grade. He's what the world defines as developmentally challenged. He doesn't quite keep up with the rest of us, and many would look on him with some pity. But Albert doesn't look on himself that way. He is a man of faith. He says, God has given me a gift, and it's our responsibility to use the gifts God has given us to share with the world. And so, beginning at 15 years of age, Albert began shining shoes. And 2 days a week, he shines shoes in the foyer of the Children's Hospital in Pittsburgh, Tuesday and Thursday. 5:30 in the morning, he gets up to travel into the city, and he's there throughout the day. He charges $3 for a shoe shine. Business has not been that great lately because people don't take care of their shoes the way they used to. But often people will give him $3 plus a tip. And every tip Albert has received, he has given to the free care program at Pittsburgh's Children's Hospital. That is the program which allows parents who cannot afford to have their children taken care of to get hospital care. We have to be grateful for our system in Canada. Well, he began this in 1982. In 2013, Albert had passed $200,000 in shoeshine tips. That's about one third of his entire income, because Albert only makes $10,000 a year. But he is satisfied. He has more than enough. And out of his abundance that he has received from the God who has given him rich gifts, he changes the world. So one more slide, Mary. So I want you to sit down in the green grass today. And I want you to be fed by the Savior who has compassion on you, because He sees that you're hungry. He sees that you're weary and tired and faltering and may not make it home or to your next goal in life. He sees you. And He wants you to eat His gracious gifts and be satisfied. Let us pray. O gracious God, you came that we might know who we are, that we might gather together to be changed, and in receiving your gifts, go out to change the world. Thank you for giving us what we need to be satisfied. In Jesus' name.